Hi, and good evening, everybody. This is Laurie Handlers, your host of Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. Welcome to the show. If this is your first time coming to the show, I want to start by thanking you and all the guests who are out there listening. And I want to thank my main theme music, Jim McGrath, for Liquid Calm. And I want to thank my guests tonight, and I haven't even introduced them yet. We'll be bringing them in a few moments. You know, tonight, if you're listening, these are the questions I want to start with. Do you feel lonely in your relationship? Are you tired of feeling stale, like there must be something more to it? Well, tonight, I have these amazing intimacy coaches to help you break free and reconnect. So I just want to give you that little piece, that little tidbit for a moment, and I want to explain the show, and I'll be bringing them on shortly. So usually I start with my appetizer to demystify Tantra, but I think tonight I want to start by telling a little bit about myself and how I got into Tantra, because most of the time that's what people want to know. And I, you know, sometimes I just forget to say that on the show. So I want you all to know that I was just like you before Tantra. I worked in a corporation. I worked in corporate America. I was a very successful executive in corporate America, and I always described myself as somebody who could smoke a cigar with anybody in any boardroom in America. And that's not really to say I smoke cigars, by the way, but it's just to say that I was really a very successful, results-oriented, results-producing corporate executive. And what happened for me in about 1995, 1996 is that my body started to break down. I was having troubles in my lower GI tract, and I also tore my knee. And I was so stressed and so pressurized by producing results in corporate America that I kind of came to my knees. You know, Marianne Williamson, if some of you are familiar with her, she talks about how a person will pray when they finally are on their knees, and I was on my knees. And a friend of mine at the time said, you know, there's a course coming. And by the way, everybody, I was really into transformation already. As a matter of fact, I worked for a transformation company, so it's not like I didn't have awareness. But, you know, here I was anyway in corporate America, and I was on my knees. And a friend of mine said, you know, there's a Tantra course coming to Maryland. And I lived in Washington, D.C. at the time, and I timidly took my first Tantra course, and it shifted and changed my whole life. My results now are that I have, like, far more energy. I'm my own beloved. I'm connected to people as if they're the beloved. When I see them, I'm really present to them. My body changed. I'm healthy. I look better. I reversed the aging process. So I just wanted to tell you that because oftentimes people want to know from me, you know, how did I get into Tantra? You know, what did it do for me, and what was I like before? So I just like for people to know that. So so in case you just tuned in, I want to let you know that you're listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and you're listening to bbsradio.com. So just to give you the appetizing portion of Tantra Cafe, going along with the cafe theme, I want to always demystify Tantra. And one of the things I want to just mention tonight, because I have intimacy and relationship coaches coming on, I do want to let people know, if you're single out there and you have this misconception that you must have a partner in order to practice Tantra, that is wrong. You can practice Tantra yourself, you can prepare yourself and become your own beloved, and you can lay a landing strip. If it's a relationship you desire, you can prepare yourself, you can expand your awareness, you can do practices that move your sexual energy and keep you young and alive. You can do all these things by yourself, and then when you're with a partner, what a gift. What an amazing gift it is to be with somebody else once you've practiced Tantra. So I say that so that anyone who's listening tonight who is not in relationship gets to feel okay, even though tonight we're going to be talking to intimacy counselors, intimacy coaches. Okay, so I really want you to know that from me to you. I have practiced Tantra for a long time, and in part of my time practicing Tantra, over 12, 13 years, there has been a long stretch where I haven't had a partner, and I practiced and practiced anyway. So, that said, without further ado, I want to introduce our entree for this evening, our main course. And the main course for this evening are my guests, Monica and Sam. And Monica and Sam have sensuality and intimacy coaching practice together. They specialize in working with couples who are ready to create more love, passion, and excitement in their relationship. In their sessions, couples explore ways to share their desires, be more playful, and create deeper connection and intimacy. Sam and Monica work with a couple on creating sensual practices that arouse greater freedom, awakening, love, and spiritual connection with one another. That sounds pretty great. So the question I asked in the beginning is, do you feel lonely in your relationship or tired of feeling stale? And we're now going to welcome Sam and Monica to the show, and we're going to find out exactly how they do it, how they do what they say they're going to do, how they do what they've said. So greetings, Monica and Sam. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Lori. Thank you so much for having us.
Hi, good evening, Lori.
Great. Good. I'm so glad to have you. And you're in Philadelphia right now, right?
Yes, we are.
Good. And I'm in New York.
And then in New York City half of the time, and we practice in both places.
Very good. Very, very good. So tell me a little bit about, you know, I want to dive right into it with you, okay? I know that you've both had a little bit of Tantra experience with me. So tonight's not going to be so much about Tantra, although we're connecting it to Tantra because that's, you know, the main theme of my show. But what you do is relevant and it's related and it's kind of like, you know, like the next thing. So tell us a little bit about how you work with couples who want to create more love and passion in their relationship. Like who, first of all, who would call you? What kind of people would call you?
It's really for any couple who is at a place where they feel like they're ready for more. And you know that there's a place in a relationship sort of after the beginning, and you know, you've been together for a while or something like that, and you just start to look at each other, and maybe you've built up resentments, or you know, you've gotten into daily life, you've got kids, you know, whatever it is, but something ends up being lost. And I like the questions you asked, the being lonely in the relationship. I think a lot of people feel that way, but they're just not sure what to do about it. And what we offer people are some really concrete ways to start to get underneath some of those day-to-day resentments and things that lay on top of what really is love and connection between them. And we show them how to play together and how to have a sensual practice. And when we say sensual practice, we don't mean sex. We mean that there are practices that they can engage in that get them back into a place of touching, of being more intimate, of being closer and more deeply connected, like Tantra does. And so we reinsert that into the relationship. And in many cases, people have lost that intimacy together.
Thanks, Monica. That is such a great response. Anything you want to add to that, Sam?
Yeah, we got into this together because we had both been in relationships, and we knew that those pieces that you are sometimes unfinished in one relationship come to you in the next relationship. And we were both at the same crossroads, and we decided that we wanted to fully go into all those things together with our eyes open and have fun with them and explore and choose, allow ourselves to be kids when we want to be kids and get serious when we want to get serious and get deep when we want to go there and have those light times and not leave any parts of ourselves out. And for oftentimes couples we start leaving parts of ourselves out side of the relationship. The things that we loved about the other person that we fell in love with oftentimes are left on the cutting room floor. And we say we bring them all back in, bring all those parts of our playful side, our silly side, maybe the things aside that are not the coolest things, but just that make each of us unique and are special in our own way, and bring them back in so that you're full. You're a full human being in the relationship.
So, you know, what you said, first of all, a couple things you said. One is you two are in relationship. So I didn't say that in my introduction, but I think it's helpful for people to know that you two are in relationship. And so you're actually coaching from your own experience of whatever your challenges have been, yeah?
Absolutely. In fact, that's one of the richest parts of it. I always tell clients that we work with that I would never ask them to do anything that I wouldn't do myself. And so, you know, we really come from a place where, you know, we argue, we fight, we have disagreements, and then we have very loving times. And so we really can relate to people through all those places.
Thank you. That is so, so important, because a lot of times, you know, people are in some kind of counseling, and they're with counselors who can't even relate to what they're doing. I don't get me started on this tangent, but I'd like to know that you two are in relationship and you're actually going through it. Sometimes I say that I'm just a few steps ahead of my students, and you two sound like you're like me. You're a few steps ahead of your coaching clients, and so it's real. You're in the pot. You're in the mix with people with the kind of compassion that it takes to actually transform people, yeah?
Yeah, what we do is we'll just bring our own experiences into the session, and I like to just talk freely, and it helps also lighten the mood when we can talk about the whatever we've been going through, whatever challenges we've been dealing with, and we talk about it openly. We bring our full vulnerability into the session. We bring our fears, our desires. If I feel a place that maybe Monica's holding back on her desires, I'll share that, and I'll share how that felt. And it gives the couple permission to then go fully into their stuff and fully into their relationship by watching us just talk about it openly. Like, we choose to be open, completely open, and that gives them permission to do the same with each other.
So you actually model a kind of communication or a kind of playfulness right in front of your clients, so that they can actually see what it's like. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I mean, we definitely focus our attention on them. It's not like, you know, they're not paying admission to the Sam and Monica show or anything. But, you know, but we do find that sometimes, I think exactly what you're talking about, people are used to going to some type of therapy or some type of expert or guru who hasn't necessarily had their experience. And people often just feel really alone in their experience. They feel like they're the only ones, you know, who are feeling a certain way. I think a lot of us feel that way. And it's just that when we talk about some different things that have happened, it's like they just feel like it's okay for them to admit the places where they are. And it's just that we're saying, you know what, we're willing to go first here.
Very good. Very, very good. Now, let's see. There's something else I wanted to ask you about. Like, let's backtrack a little bit, you know. Like, tell us your story a little bit. Like, how did you two meet, and how did you decide to do this? How did you decide to get together to do some kind of intimacy coaching?
We met at the community where we actually live now. It's an intentional community called One Taste in New York. It's an urban retreat center, and the focus there is on many of these topics: intimacy, relationships, sensuality, and so we were each individually part of that community. So, you know, this was already identified as something that we both were doing work in on ourselves and as part of a community.
So when we met there and were undertaking, you know, there's a sensuality practice there that we both are familiar with. So our relationship really grew out of a lot of shared commitments and practices that we were doing in our life. And we are both, you know, we both coach separately as well and work with people. And as we saw what was growing between us, we felt as though, you know, this was something we could do with other people.
Thank you. That's great. Well, let me just, in case people just joined into the show, I wanted to say who we are and let them know who you are. So you're listening to Tantra Cafe on bbsradio.com. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. I'm a Tantra expert. And tonight my guests are Monica and Sam, who are sensuality and intimacy coaches, and they specialize in working with couples. And if you're not a couple, as I said earlier on the show, it doesn't matter. You know, this is for when you are a couple and if you should run into trouble. And also, you can be practicing Tantra and some of these sensuality practices anyway and preparing yourself for being in a relationship if you don't happen to be in one now. So, you know, please don't feel left out at all. I want to also give people an idea how they can reach you too, just in case they want to get their pencils ready. And I also want to tell people how to call into the show. So hang on one second. Let me just give people the numbers to call in if they have a question for us. The call-in numbers, if you want to ask me a question or Sam or Monica questions this evening, are 888-228-4494 in the U.S. and Canada. And if you're calling, you want to call from anywhere else in the world, it's 877-489-6350. You can also go to the BBS website, which you have to be on to be listening, and you can send me a fast chat from the BBS fast chat site, just in case you'd like to, you know, send me an email immediately. Now, if you want to get in touch with Sam, you would write him at sensuality_coach@yahoo.com. And if you want to reach Monica individually, you can reach her at mday@monicaday.com. And I'll give your phone numbers out a little bit later in the show. Let's see. What else do I want to ask you? Let's talk about, can you tell us anything about somebody that you've worked with before? Like you took them from A to C or D or E. Like someone would have started with something and then you took them somewhere else. Can you give us a little example of somebody that, you know, no names of course, but you know, what was a client or clients of yours like and then what did you have them do?
Yeah, thanks. That's a great question. So oftentimes when people have come to see us, it's not just when they're not just for trouble, but it's because they just want more play in their lives, and they just know they want them to create more together. So what we do is we find out first what they're looking for, really go deep inside them and ask them to go deep inside their own souls. And we ask people to start with a want list and just play like your kid and write down everything they want. Doesn't matter what it is. I want a trip to France. I want to have dinner at Buckingham Palace. I want to, you know, climb Mount Everest. It doesn't matter. What we find is it's these desires that people in once they're couples, that they don't, their desires are the unexpressed desires that are squelched down, and over time it just turns into that hard place that calcifies inside of us. So somebody,
it's like resignation.
I'm sorry?
Are you saying like that place, for a lot of people that place is called resignation. Is that what you're talking about? Resignation?
Yeah.
Like they get resigned? Go ahead.
They become complacent, resignation, stagnation. It's anything that blocks the flow there's a natural flow in a relationship. Anything that blocks that flow it impacts the energy field that is created, and there's always an energy field between two people. Two people come together and it creates a third energy field. And it's that, but those resentments or those unspoken desires are what get in between of the flow of the natural energy that's always present.
So what do you do? Do you take a hammer to them? I mean, how do you?
Well, and if in their desires, case, that might be necessary, but oftentimes, like I said, we start with a want list, and then we go into just practices that are communication practices that are, and people can try this, that are just about speaking freely their desires, asking the person across from them, one person asking the other person in the relationship, tell me something you desire. And just that person feeling the freedom to speak, and the person who is listening to not have to do anything for them. They don't have to act in desire. They don't have to go get them anything right away. They don't have to feel bad if they didn't do it. It's just having a person to listen to, and having the person who's closest in their lives listen to what's deepest dark is down in their souls that they want, that they've oftentimes have just said they can't have because their lives have shifted and they can no longer have that. So we allow them to speak the desires, just simply get it all out and express it. And then from there, we go into different places, which is maybe learning how to express a certain type of touch you want. And from using different communication techniques that we've each studied, going into how to ask for what you want exactly the way you want it each time. From that loving, approving place, knowing that the person across from you wants to give it to you. And if you don't get it, trust that they maybe didn't understand, there was something unclear, maybe a wire got crossed or didn't come through exactly as you thought it would, and appreciating the effort and asking again and allowing and to like almost be a student of that other person, a student of the other person's sensuality. You know, so for a man, you know, to be a student of the woman's sensuality and find out what, from a place of curiosity, what she likes and what she wants.
You know, you made a couple of really important points here. One is that this is all communication. All of this stuff is communication, number one. Number two, you said, ask again. Like, if you don't get what you want the first time, ask again. That is so important because people give up. They get so intimidated after they ask one time for whatever it is that they want that they get pissed off, like they don't want to ask again. So that was so important, Sam. And then the other thing you said was to become a student, like someone doing research of their partner's sensuality. That is so, that's beautiful. I just stop here for a second. We're going to actually take a break. We're going to have a break, and then we're going to come back. So we're going to leave it on that note, and we're going to come right back in the conversation to where we left it. So in case you're just tuned in, I want you to know this is Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handler, your host. You're listening to bbsradio.com, and you can call in at 888-228-4494, or you can call in at 877-489-6350. We welcome your calls. Please call and ask us a question. And I'm here, I'll be right back after the break with my guests, Monica and Sam, who are sensuality and intimacy coaches. See you in a moment, we'll be back after break. Stay tuned. I, Laurie Handler, personally invite you to come with me on a tantric tour of the heart of India, November 19th to December 1st, 2008. You'll see the Taj Mahal and visit the fabulous Fatehpur Sikri, home of the great Mughal king, Akbar. You'll experience Jaipur, the pink city, and visit the sacred lake of Pushkar. Then, at dawn from a boat on the Ganges in Varanasi,
you'll see exquisite Hindu prayer rituals. You'll tour Sarnath, where the Buddha gave his first speech after attaining enlightenment, and then you'll explore the exotic Kama Sutra temples of Khajuraho. Finally, you'll shop till you drop in the Paraganj Bazaar in New Delhi. Throughout the tour, you'll learn tantric techniques and principles, and I promise you'll feel a tremendous sense of well-being as we delve into these simple yet potent tantric tools. Please note that no previous experience with tantra or yoga is necessary. I invite you to join me in this unique experience touring the incredible country of India. And I must warn you, this is not your typical tour, and you are not a typical tourist.
For more information about this exciting tantric tour of the heart of India, contact Lori at butterflywitchcraft.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment, and I'm Laurie Hamlet, your host, and you're listening to bbsradio.com. The music you just heard was Professor Trance from the Dance Your Animal CD, and the cut that you listened to, or the track you listened to, was called Dance Your Animal. I use that particular piece of music in my second level course called Ecstasy. And I invite you all to inquire about my Bliss course and then also inquire about my Ecstasy course anywhere in the United States and even some places in Europe and Asia. Also, tonight my guests, just in case you're just joining us, are Sam and Monica, sensuality and intimacy coaches. And there we're speaking about how you recover that playfulness and that intimacy that you have or had when you first got into relationship. You know, just to mention something to the two of you, one of my teachers is somebody named Osho, and Osho says that when you're in a relationship, you stop being spontaneous. Like, being in relationship means you think you know something about your partner. And the more you think you know about your partner, the more the relationship is dying. And Osho says that the only way to be with another is to be relating, like in a constant state of relating as if you don't know anything about your partner, which is kind of what we left at the break, saying that that people would become the researcher or the student of the other one's sensuality. So is there something more you want to say about that? Because this is so important.
Yes, Lori, it's so true. One of the biggest things we found, both in our relationships in the past, in our marriages that we were in, and then also with our clients, is that there are three really big things that get in the way. And those are the roles that people assume. So once people get into a relationship, you know, there's a lot of contracts. It's like you take out the trash and I clean the kitchen, you know, and you iron shirts and I do the laundry. And that gets very ingrained, and those expectations
start to really get in the way of the spontaneity, you know, just like you're saying, of the flow. Because people then so entrenched in them, if they step out of it, then, you know, the other person, you know, Sam has this great saying, he makes me laugh all the time, he says, who moved my cheese, you know, and we don't like it when somebody moves our cheese, you know, we like things to be where they were before, but it's that willingness to allow people the freedom, you know, to move in and out of these roles or to take different roles or play different ways. And then I think the other thing are the resentments. You know, I talk about resentments being like that room in the house. You know, everybody has, it's kind of like a junk drawer or something, but there's like this room, and that's where you throw all the stuff that you can't find a place for in the house, and it gets, you know, more and more filled. That's what our resentments are like in a relationship. So one of the big things we work with people on, too, is how can they empty out that room that's full of resentments, and are there ways that, and that goes to being a student, you know, of one another. Can they do it with humor and curiosity, you know, instead of saying, you know, gee, you always do that way, you know, or you never, you know, do what I ask or something like that. You can just become curious about a person. Gee, I noticed, you know, that you just did something a certain way, and I'm just wondering about that. And if you come at it from, I want to know you here, I want to know you better here and understand you and love you here, rather than I want to criticize you and make you wrong.
Yeah, that's, Monica, you know, it's really important stuff. It's like, you know, you'd think that we know this. You'd think this was common sense, and it probably is common sense, and then we take everything so personally. And we start, you know, we start gathering evidence and making our partner or somebody wrong, like as if that really serves things. So it's so important. You know, I want to say, I just want to say something here about, I have a book, in case people don't know, I have a book called Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, which people can order by going to my website, butterflyworkshops.com. And I talk about this practice of making love in the unknown, and how they do that is by clearing out the same thing you're talking about, these resentments, clearing out this room that's filled with stuff, and making room for the unknown. And then it sounds like what you're talking about is when we make room for the unknown, you're teaching people how to play.
Yeah,
you know, and that's go ahead. That's so critical. So critical.
Yeah. So you've now made room, and how do you bring the play back into the fun back into those to replace it? Because if you don't put something else in there, put something else conscious in there, inevitably we'll go back to our old ways of being, because we're human beings and that's the way our minds work, and we tend to get a little lazy. So you have to, what we try to do is help people create sensual practices for their in their relationship. So they see what they've done over the years. They don't want to go back that direction. So how do you create a practice similar to a yoga practice that you put attention on, you're putting attention on every day, and it feeds you and it nourishes you?
Well, Sam, you know, it's amazing that you just mentioned yoga practice, because we have a caller coming in right now to the show, and we all know him. His name is Krishna, and right now he's in Chinatown, New York, which is where I am, and where you live usually when you're not in Philadelphia. So do we have Krishna on the line?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay, great. Do you have something you want to... Yeah, and you were a guest 2 weeks ago on my show. Krishna, welcome. Is there something you want to add to this conversation, or is there a question you want to ask?
I just tuned in. I don't know what the stream of thought is yet, so just continue on.
Okay, great. Well, I'm here with Sam and Monica. I'm really glad that you're on the line, and if there's anything that you want to add, or if there's something that you want to ask them, you know, please feel free, okay? So, Sam, this was really important. Is there anything else following the train where you were talking about yoga practice and getting this into practice? So give people an example of something they would say to each other as a regular practice in what you're talking about.
Well, what we have is It's actually a physical practice. It's a physical sensual practice, and it's called orgasmic meditation. And it's a conscious practice. We dedicate 15 minutes throughout our day, whenever we want. Two of us coming together and putting the full attention on the orgasm that flows between us. If Monica would be laying down and I would be stroking her clitoris, specifically in a location that has released the most pleasure in her body. And in that practice, she's choosing to feel, and I'm choosing to feel the same thing and stay connected in the sensations that are reopening up. So there's, like I talked about, there's two people come together and they create a third energy field. This is the same energy field, and even more so that we open together. We choose to forget about everything that's been going on. We could have had an argument, or we're late, or something happened, whatever it is. There's plenty of those that we can discuss. But we choose to say no, our sensuality, our connection, our desire to feel is more important than our desire to talk and process or be right or stand on a certain viewpoint. It's more important for us to feel connected, to connect to our most vulnerable place, and then share there. And then usually when we come back, thing whatever we were upset with, or even if you're not upset, it doesn't really matter, it's not there any longer because there's the connection replaced it. So the resentment got put aside, if we're talking about couples, and we replace it with being in touch with each other's most deepest part of vulnerability, our sensuality, and our intimacy.
So wait a second, let me get this straight. You're talking about something called orgasmic meditation, and you practice this 15 minutes per session throughout the day. So you would practice this two or three times a day?
Yes. I mean, it all depends, and whatever, you know, this is a practice we teach people and, you know, demonstrate and use in our coaching. So, you know, we try to do it often, but, you know, a couple could just commit to doing this once a day, you know, or a couple times a week. I mean, we encourage couples to find what's right for them, not give them a prescription. That's one of the things I find when couples do things like counseling and therapy or whatever, is that they're often given such a list of things that they have to do that it becomes, you know, like a chore. So we just give people the practice, and we just help them figure out how to integrate it into their lives so that they can be consistent with it.
Well, this is a fantastic practice. I mean, this is just great thing for people to do as an activity to do. And what Sam is saying, I think, is that when people do this practice, kind of like a yogic or a meditation practice, when they do it and it becomes a regular part of their life, they know there's a special time where they let their cares fall away and they connect on the same, if you will, energy vibration. And it's amazing. I think it's a great practice for couples. I think it's I usually say that couples get lost in what I call hallway time. Like they go, hi, how are you? How was your day? And they like kind of pass each other in the hallway, or they see each other in the bathroom brushing their teeth. And then, you know, in the year 2004, there was in the June issue of Newsweek, there was something called DINS, D-I-N-S, Double Income, No Sex Couples. Now, I don't know if you two were familiar with that article, but it showed a picture of two people in bed. One of them had a computer on their lap, and the other person had the clicker, you know, the thing that, you know,
changes. I'm familiar with that as a lifestyle, actually.
okay. And how is that working for you?
Well, you know, I mean, it's interesting that you bring that up because, you know, that was the state of the earlier relationships that I personally was in before I decided to undertake the practice of opening up my sensuality and working with couples. And it's one of the reasons that I felt so passionately about working with couples is because I've been on that other side. And I think that one of the things that I've really learned is, and I think a lot of us do this, it's when we get angry, when we get resentful, we stop being sexual and sensual with one another. And the reason we do that often is because we don't want the other person to think that we're not mad anymore. We don't want them to think their behavior is okay, or we're just so preoccupied with our life, we're so stressed out. It's like, oh, I can't have sex with you right now, I'm too stressed out. And what we say to couples is that these are actually all the reasons why you need a sensual practice, and a lot of times people have it the opposite. Those are all the things standing in the way of them having a sensual practice, and it's really the opposite.
So in essence, what we're talking about here is that often people use the withholding of sex to punish their partner, and or they use it, they don't want to be vulnerable, let's say, to their partner, so they shut down, they turn themselves off. And what you're saying is, I think what you're saying is that if we reframe the whole thing and people have an actual sensual practice, sexual practice that they use as meditation, then they open themselves up and they turn themselves on anyway, and that prevents things from getting so blocked and so beyond repair that they actually can break through and let go and be vulnerable and be open.
That's exactly right. And, you know, choosing to be, life is full of choices, and being willing to, you can choose to be turned on if you want to. You can choose to say yes to the connection, yes the vulnerability, yes to deeper intimacy, yes to wanting to put aside whatever might be the issue of the moment and saying yes to each other and to your intimacy. And it's a constant choice that's not always easy for people to make, and it's just a muscle that hasn't been worked. And we're very used to shutting down as a way of hurting somebody or not wanting somebody to see us, but it's choosing to exercise that muscle of opening as opposed to closing.
Beautiful, really beautiful. Now listen, you two, I want to tell people who you are again, and I want to give them a way to get in touch with you before we find out, you know, what your, you know, we're kind of finding out what your favorite practice is, orgasmic meditation, but perhaps there's something else that you're able to share kind of at the tail end of the show. So let's just say, Sam, how would people get in touch with you? Can you just tell them?
Yeah, you can contact me at sensuality_coach@yahoo.com, or my phone number is 925-437-3540. And you can reach Monica at mday@monicaday.com, and her number is
215-901-1327.
Fabulous. And so that's how you reach my guests. They're sensuality and intimacy coaches, and you can reach them at their email addresses or at their phone numbers. If you want to reach me, you can write to me at laurie@butterflyworkshop.com. And, of course, that's where you can get a copy of my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, because, of course, I've also written about this subject. I have 10 laws about how you can stay in a flow, in communication, in spontaneity and playfulness with your partner, even through anger, even through all breakdowns, how to stay intimate with another. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe on bbsradio.com. And we do have a few more minutes, so I just want to know if you know, if there's any kind of thing that the two of you want to share, aside, maybe you want to talk a little bit more about orgasmic meditation, and perhaps there's something else, some other sensuality practice that's another favorite thing of yours. You know, kind of like on my show, I like to give my guests something called Tantra Takeout. And when I have a couple on the show, I call it Tantra Dessert. So anything you two want to share about your individual practices, I don't mean individual, I mean your together practices, that's kind of juicy, because you know what, I know that you're a really hot couple. You know, and I know that anyone who has seen you around each other think you're a really hot couple. Like, the eyes definitely go to you when you're in a room together. So how do you do that?
You know, one of the things that we really do is just play a lot in moments where I know I never used to. In fact, one day I think Sam and I were walking down the street and we were having what for us was an argument, and somebody just on the street who was working, you know, looked at us and started laughing and said, "Whatever you guys are having, I want some." And, you know, we laughed and we looked at him and we said, "Well, you know, you're in luck because we're selling it." And, you know, but the funny part of it was that we were actually having an argument and he had no idea. But we were so playful even in our arguing, and we were so turned on in our arguing that it looked like so much fun that somebody else wanted it. I think that that's one of the things, is just really greeting the person with humor and curiosity about where they are and what's happening for them. I think that's really one of my favorite things.
Nice. Thanks for sharing that. And also, you know, let's also say something about how you look. I mean, how you dress. I always notice that you dress in, like, wonderful dresses. And, you know, like, they're simple. It's not like you have this ornate wardrobe. But, Monica, let's face it, whenever I see you, you look pretty hot, you know?
Thank you,
Lori. You have, like, great blouses and great dresses. Tell us a little bit about that. You know, that certainly helps.
Well, it is. It's funny that you mention it, because it's one of the things when, you know, I don't think I mentioned this, but I'm a parent. I have two daughters who are 6 and 10, and I noticed, you know, at a certain point, I think this happens to a lot of women, you know, I just was wearing sweats all the time. I wasn't really paying much attention to how I looked, and I started to feel really frumpy. And I just woke up one day and I thought, wait a minute, this isn't me. You know, what happened to me? And it's one of those things. I got into a role. I got into some, you know, complacent place. And I just very consciously turned that around. I realized that if I looked hot and I felt better and I was getting the, you know, attention in the world I wanted, I was feeling more turned on within myself. And it's funny, I've even explained that term, you know, turn on, to my kids. And they're very young, they're 6 and 10. And, you know, I was telling them, you'll hear people talk about having turn on as being sexual. I said, but what I want you to know is that turn on is just that feeling inside yourself of feeling alive. And that's really what it is. It's just, you know, I'm actually not dressing for other people. I'm dressing for what makes feel good and what turns me on, and then it just so happens to also feel good and turn other people on.
Well, you know, we could call that a practice also. You know, we could say that that's also a kind of a practice that one can do, kind of like yoga, like every single day someone can look good, no matter what mood they're in, no matter who they're angry at, no matter how resigned they might be, no matter whatever, like actually to get in the practice of grooming and looking good and looking hot to turn yourself on. That's what singles can do. That's what couples can do. That's an amazing practice. And Monica, I think you're kind of a master at that.
Thank you.
Can I add one more thing, Lori?
I wish we had streaming video right now so people could see you, but like they can't see you right now. So let's leave them wondering.
Yes, they'll have to call.
Can I add one more thing into there, Lori?
Sure, Sam, go ahead.
Yeah, so I because, you know, we're talking about Tantra and this, and people who turn in are about spirituality, and I want, you know, people
Sam,
to...
Sam, come a little closer, come a little closer.
Yeah, sorry, that loving someone is also a practice. And oftentimes we get into relationships because how somebody makes us feel. And when they stop making us feel that way, we then have permission to stop loving them. And what I like to introduce as another practice is loving someone as they want to be loved. And find out the ways that person wants to be loved and make it a game and love them exactly the way they want to be loved, not the way you think they should be loved or you want to be loved them. Or you want to love them, but as they want to be loved. And that's a whole, it's an infinite game right there, an endless game of finding, learning more about that other person.
You know, that's turning me on, so I just need to let you know. And it's probably turning on the producers and technicians over at the station as well. I mean, you know, that's an, you know, every week we have these turn-ons from this show, and this is an amazing, that whole notion that you just mentioned, the idea of loving someone the way they want to be loved, that's like so, you know, that's something we think is common sense, but it seems like common sense, and it's so extraordinary. It's almost revolutionary when we think about relating. So, Sam, thank you. That's like such a gift. Who wouldn't want to get coached by you?
Thank you.
You know, like... So let's just, we're kind of winding down the show now. I want to let people know that you, Sam, are going to be in the D.C. area. You're going to be doing some kind of demo of this orgasmic meditation. We're kind of just working out the details now, but let people know the dates that you're going to be in the D.C. area in case anybody from D.C. is listening in. If you are listening in, listeners from D.C., you'll need to get in touch with me at laurie@butterflyworkshops.com, and I'll direct you to finding Sam, or you'll call Sam at the number that he gave earlier. Let's see. That number is 925-437-3540. If you're in the D.C., Baltimore, Northern Virginia area, any of the D.C. suburbs, and you'd like to see some kind of a demo of orgasmic meditation, Sam, when are you going to be there?
Okay, so we're going to be holding a demonstration of a woman in orgasm for 30 minutes on the 19th of July. So that's Saturday, the 19th. The time is yet to be decided. It will be in Washington, D.C., and if people call, we'll give them the exact information. And it's a rare opportunity to see what's possible in this practice of orgasmic meditation, of really exploring the outer limits of orgasm and connection and intimacy that's available between two people. And to witness a woman opening herself up fully to choose to feel everybody in the room and expressing her full power and for that length of time.
Well, it sounds amazing, and I you know, I'm going to do my best to get people to it. So hopefully some of the listeners this evening will be able to attend. So just in saying that, I want to thank you both. You've been an amazing couple to talk to on this show, and just amazing guests. You brought up so many revolutionary points that one would think we would learn these things in school, but we don't, and so I'm so glad there's you. So
thank you so much
for being
having
my
us.
Guest. Well, anytime, anytime. I like I said, who wouldn't want to be coached by you? So everyone who's out there listening, go ahead, Sam, what?
It was a real treat. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So anyone who's out there listening, you've been listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment on subjects of Tantra and very closely related. Tonight we had intimacy coaching. And next week we're going to have a show about cuddle parties. and we're going to be talking about what cuddle parties are and why they're the latest craze. People are talking about them. They're making the news. So please join me next week at 9:55. You can tune in again, by the way, any week. That's 9:55 Eastern Time. You can tune in again on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time for the replay of each show. And I welcome you to visit my site, butterflyworkshops.com. This is Lori Handlers signing off and thanking you all for tuning in. Good night now.